The holiday season is fast approaching, a time of year when folks naturally look for ways to be more generous. I am Rob West. There's one way you can maximize your giving experience as we near the year's end, and that's by making it a family affair. Jeannie McMains joins us today to talk about that. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Jeannie McMains, is Executive Vice President of Offerings and Marketing at the National Christian Foundation. For more than 25 years, she's helped families create a fun and lasting giving experience. Jeannie, always great to have you on the program.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I'm delighted, and this is a topic that I love, and I know you've got five great ways to bring the whole family into the giving process as we head into the end of year and holidays. So where do you want to start first?
Well, Rob, you're right. This is a topic near and dear to my heart as well. And the whole idea is really to make a thriving family giving culture in the habits and the activities we do together around generosity. So to start that, one of the important things to keep in mind is really to right-size the experience, Rob. Too often, parents will want to, in their enthusiasm, get their children or grandchildren excited about the idea of giving, and they overshoot the complexity or the time commitment in their enthusiasm. So we've all learned and experienced these types of things over the years. And so giving the family culture grace to grow and develop together is super important. A couple of stories come to mind to just emphasize that point. I remember working alongside a single mother years ago who had just a passion for giving, and she was so excited. She wanted to do it well and prayerfully with a lot of wisdom and discernment. And so while she gave her daughter a monetary amount to give away, it also came with a 3-page instruction list, right?
Oh, wow.
How to do it wisely and what to research. And it was great advice. But her daughter was a young mother with children, you know, all in grade school and serving her pastor husband and managing a career of her own. And so, shocker, Rob, mom was disappointed.
Been there, done that. I can tell you that for sure.
Absolutely. I have too. And another important way to right size the experience is I can think of a father who had set up one Christmas as we're heading into the holidays and gave each child a monetary amount to go give away. And then, you know, the idea was, hey, report back to me on what you did. Great idea. Great idea. I've seen families do this to bring about a lot of joy. However, this particular father gave an amount that he was, you know, a little sizable, and he was concerned with the where the children gave to. He didn't feel like it was quite up to, you know, what he was hoping those dollars would go to. And, you know, my advice to him, Rob, was right size not only the time involved, but the amount, so that your children can learn to fall in love with giving and the things they care about, and not have it be frustrating to you that those dollars went to things that, you know, we're up to maybe you're thinking on the best and highest use for those dollars. The goal is to really let them learn to fall in love with their own giving passions along the way.
Yeah, well, there's the best of intentions there, but the complexity can stifle the giving itself, right? So I love that idea that we need to right-size the experience along the way. Of course, the idea there is to keep it simple. Jeannie, what else should we be thinking about here?
I think it's important that we leave what I call both we and me space in the family giving context. Sometimes, kind of like the story of the dad I just mentioned, you know, parents want their children to give to the things that the parents are excited about. And believe me, the kids know that and feel that, right? It's allowing them the opportunity to have me space in being able to give amounts to the things that they're excited about. And then as a family, creating a collection of shared values that everybody can get excited about. So everybody can experience their own personal journey and their together journey in a way that builds family in the process.
Mm. What has that looked like for families that you've worked with? How do they unpack those values?
Oh, great question. Well, some of the things that are fun to do is sometimes you can get interesting, like card games. There's a lot of resources out there in the marketplace, and and make it fun to either talk about values or talk about charitable impact you want to have in the world. That's a great thing that families might want to check into this Christmas.
I love that idea.
Well, we're just getting started. We're talking about how you can give as a family, keeping it simple, but really uncovering perhaps the joy of generosity for your kids this holiday season. We're talking with Jeannie McMains. She's Executive Vice President of Offerings and Marketing at National Christian Foundation, and much more to come just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever thought about the beginning of our world recently? How did these great mountains come forth, and when did the roaring seas begin to flow? Creation was here long before us, and creation will be here long after us. But creation is not eternal. It did have a beginning. It was made by the Lord, who has no beginning. Moses proclaims this in a wonderful way in Psalm 90. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. All of creation will one day come and go, but who will remain? The Lord, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Creation will change, but God will remain the same. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Jeannie McMains. Jeannie's with the National Christian Foundation, and we're talking today about making giving a family affair. Just before the break, Jeannie shared two ideas that are really helpful. First, right-size the experience. Don't make it too complicated and miss the opportunity to actually dive in and begin enjoying the fruit of giving as a family. Second, make space for we and me. The idea is make sure there's room for your kids to actually give in a way that's aligned with their passions alongside the opportunities the family may give together. And Jeannie, I know that idea of making space for we and me really leads into the next one, doesn't it?
It really does. And while we mentioned before the break, you can do interesting card games and lots of conversation helps to find out what each individual in the family's passions are. Another important thing to keep in mind, Rob, is use a framework. It's really helpful when everybody knows when they're coming into a conversation, all right, what are the guidelines and the expectations so I can show up with my full self? Couple of examples. I mean, the frameworks can get pretty involved. In fact, one of them was I can think of outside the family context was in an employer company environment where the employer was doing a dollar match program. And sometimes you'll find parents wanting to do a dollar match in what their children want to give as well. It's a great way to ignite a enthusiasm for generosity. But in this case, the employer didn't, he wanted to put a framework so he didn't have, you know, hundreds of employees making grant requests or giving requests to causes that the company wouldn't be thrilled in supporting. And they didn't want to be the policeman of that, right? In their company culture. It's supposed to be positive.
That's right.
So similarly, what they did is they said, you know what? We want to put some loose parameters about what we're for. Let's agree about what we're for. And then each employee or family member, by comparison here, can suggest the charities that is their individual expression or passion within that framework. So what they were for was improving the lives of people in their community. So it didn't go, all the giving requests didn't go out into left field and all these different directions. It gave a focus point for the we giving that everybody could show up and bring, you know, their ideas and passions. And so I think that part of the framework is really important.
I love that because then it gives them an opportunity to take these ideas that are coming in and weigh them against the parameters that they set up, but keep it really positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a good idea on the we space, but what about the me space?
Yeah.
Allowing each people to kind of, each individual to walk through and explore their own passions. And it reminds me of when my kids were little. And Rob, you can do this with little children. You can do it with adult children and multiple generations in the room. But I just came up with a three-step question with my own kids. Again, that's just one of many, many ways you can approach it. But for our family, Rob, it was to guide them from when they were elementary school age on through three questions. And we did this around Thanksgiving as we were giving thanks to the Lord for the abundant blessings in our lives and asking Him to use us to be a blessing to others. And those three questions were, okay, what people, group, or need has God put on your heart and do you really care about? And so fun when my kids were little. You know, they might say, I have a little girl in my first grade class who's dad's in prison and I want to help family members who, you know, and so, you know, there are a lot of ministries out there, Christian ministries who have prison ministry in mind. Or one year my son had seen a movie. Remember that Pursuit of Happiness movie with Will Smith? Yeah.
Sure.
And he's like, I care about the homeless. So we gave to the local Christian homeless shelter. But the three questions were, what people, group, or need is on your heart? Two, what organizations are out there doing that work well? And they might need our help to drive some internet search if they're really young, but the key is to let them pick and do the choosing here. And then I learned years ago to help narrow the funnel and give that framework as I said, you know, how does this people group share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ where they're serving that need? And that was the filter. Three steps. Anybody can do it. Right size to any age.
Yeah, that's really simple and I think so helpful to get them pointed in the right direction. And these are critical questions to help shape that. You mentioned Thanksgiving. Did you all actually go around the table and do that as a part of the Thanksgiving meal?
We did. It was after or before. And we'd also read some good books like, gosh, The Treasure Principle and others leading up to it and did some devotions on stewardship along the way. And then we could keep those grants over the years and just see the pathway upon the passions on how the kids have developed over the years.
Oh, this is so good, Jeannie. So simple and effective. All right, let's continue to move through this. What's the next way to enhance the family giving experience?
I think it's important that we share the responsibility. Many times the planning, the meetings, the tracking, the dollars, and the how-to are all coming from one generation down to another. But keeping in mind our prior principles here of right-sizing the experience and letting it, you know, be something that's tailored to them and their interests, I think it's important that we share the responsibility. So depending, you know, upon ages or talents or interests, you could have them raise some money on their own to contribute. You could have them research potential causes. As my kids got older, they would research their own causes. You can have them be the hands and feet in developing relationships with the charities. At one point, I had my daughter reach out to the charity that was having mental health ministry from a Christian standpoint in public high schools. And she was our point of contact. Mm. Maybe the event planning, like the family meeting.
Yes.
Don't forget the party. I think giving should always have a party.
I love that.
And celebrate the work that God's doing in and through us through our giving.
Yeah, that is so good. All right, so we're going to get short on time here in a minute. What about our fifth and final tip?
Don't forget the fruit. And what I mean by that, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. Great segue from party. This whole experience of giving, while it is modeled and directed to us throughout the scriptures to be generous with what's been given to us, it should be an outpouring of the fruits of the Spirit. If we find in our families that the conversation of giving has lost the predominant qualities of experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control in the way we're shepherding and sharing the blessings God given to us, we really need to rethink, are we building a thriving family culture around generosity? Because where the Spirit's moving, these are the fruit. And I think we should be intentional about calling them out, pursuing them, and celebrating them in our family giving culture.
Oh, Jeannie, that is so good. So when we right-size the experience, don't make it overcomplicated, when we create space for not only we, but also me, so everyone gets their giving expression, use a simple framework, share the responsibilities, and then don't forget the fruit, we can truly experience the joy of family giving. Now, Jeannie, before we wrap up today, how can NCF come alongside families who want to experience giving in this way?
Oh, thanks for asking, Rob. You know, our ministry is to help people see lives transformed through biblical generosity. And so we have a giving strategy that we would love. Just feel free to call NCF. You can find us at ncfgiving.com. And we also have local offices all around the country to connect with you and your family as you'd like to explore greater joy, greater purpose, and greater effectiveness in your charitable giving, individually or as a family.
Yeah. And Jeannie, for someone saying, I don't know that I have enough money, maybe I have to be a multimillionaire to work with NCF, what would you say to them?
I would say absolutely not. God measures the value of our gifts by the heart we put behind it. So
I love that. Well, Jeannie, unfortunately, we're out of time, but this has been so good. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Jeannie McMains with the National Christian Foundation. Folks, check it out today, ncfgiving.com. Make your giving strategy at ncfgiving.com. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
In Psalm 122, David urges us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All of Israel needs our prayers now. As Hamas attacks day after day, would you and your family join with your AFA family to pray for all those who have lost loved ones and who still face incredible danger at the hands of terrorists who hate God and His people? Tim Wildman has a personal message for you with suggestions on how you can pray and stay informed. Please take time to read it today at afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's right. I've got lines open. We're ready to dive into your financial question today. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you get a busy signal, we'd love for you to call back. And here's what we want to do. We want to apply the wisdom from God's Word to whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life. Help to pull out those principles, those themes and passages that we see in Scripture that can inform how we view money in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. But apply that to the practical decisions and choices you're making every day as you try to live and give and owe and grow God's money according to biblical wisdom. And at the core of faithfulness is obedience to God's word. And so we want to mine those scriptures and help you apply those big ideas. So what are you thinking about today financially? We'd love to tackle it with you. Again, we've got lines open and you can call right now, 800-525-7000. We started today by talking about generosity. It's always great to have Jeannie McMaines along with us just to think about how we can give as a family. And, you know, our desire here at FaithFi is, of course, to glorify God in all we do. We point to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. We, of course, teach biblical principles related to money and possessions so you can glorify God in your financial journey. And one way we do that is, in fact, through our giving, our generosity. You know, as children of a loving and generous Father, we reflect His character when we give. So we want to give in a way that honors the Lord. And here's how. This is what I see in Scripture, at least. Giving that honors God is generous, it's cheerful, it's loving, it's sacrificial, and it's even sometimes in secret. Let's talk about that for a second. By the way, we will be taking your calls here in just a moment. So go ahead and call right now if you have a financial question, 800-525-7000. Let's talk about giving that is generous and not stingy. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 and 7 says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." You see, what we have is not our own. It belongs to the Lord. Whether it's time, talent, or treasure, we can always afford to be generous with those. Next, giving should be cheerful and not reluctant. This is clear in the New Testament. The passage in 2 Corinthians goes on to say, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." That may be my favorite passage on giving and generosity in all of Scripture. You know, having a cheerful attitude about giving, it might be a challenge, but ask God to change your heart in this area and help you to be a hilarious and cheerful giver. Next, giving should come from love, not from obligation. Giving that glorifies God springs from love for God and our neighbor. We should be on mission for God, using money as a tool to bless others around us. And so as we love God and love our neighbor, giving is a reflection of that. Giving should be sacrificial, not comfortable. Giving sacrificially makes us more like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, listen to this. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. You see, sacrificial giving is a testimony that we trust God to meet our needs while we meet the needs of others. You see, when we demonstrate our trust by holding God's resources loosely, we can say, God, I trust you for the next dollar. You are my provider. If I didn't trust you, I would have to hold tightly to everything that comes my way. But because I do, I can pry those fingers off of what God has entrusted to me, actually see it given away to someone else, and in doing so, demonstrate to the Lord, I want to worship you and I trust you as my provider. Giving should be sacrificial, not comfortable. I would also say that in some cases, giving should be secret and not showy. That way, the glory goes to the Lord, not to the giver. Now, here's what Jesus admonishes his followers in Matthew 6. Listen to this. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. But when you give to the needy, do not let your right hand know what your left is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Now, does that mean we should never give in a way that publicly known? I don't think so. It really does come down to our heart. Check your heart. We all need to do this. See if you are trying to take the glory for this gift through the giving. If not, I think you can absolutely give a gift, whether that's putting a tithe in the basket or giving publicly in a major giving situation. But I think there is a place for giving in secret, which ensures that the glory goes to God and not to the giver. Giving that honors the Lord should, in summary, be generous, cheerful, loving, sacrificial, and even secret. And believe me, there are benefits to getting or to giving this way. Listen to this. First of all, God gives the glory. John 3:21 says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. God gets the glory. Secondly, we draw closer to the Lord as we respond to his leading. We become more like Christ, experiencing his love, joy, and peace. We have the pleasure of seeing God use us for good in the world. You see, we're a part of his plan, and in our giving, we get to participate in his activity. And then most importantly, I would say, through our godly giving, we proclaim the good news of Jesus, the ultimate giver. Let me finish with this. Philippians 2:6-8. Listen to this. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Folks, in our giving, we can worship as we give cheerfully and sacrificially and generously and in a loving way to meet the needs of those around us. So consider your giving today and give in a way that honors the Lord. All right, a quick break and then back with your questions. You ready to go? I certainly am. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Call right now with your financial questions and we'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's right, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about. Maybe there's a question that's been rolling around in your mind. You're wanting to know how to get that credit score up or pay off some debt that's perhaps in collection, or maybe it's past due. You're wondering, how do you take care of that? What about investing in light of these volatile times? We've seen some pressure on the markets as of late, and well, we're breaking that trend today, but we'll see if it holds. In fact, Bob Dahl will be by later, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, to update us on the markets and tell us what he's looking for this week. Hopefully a bounce back as we try to climb out of correction territory, which by definition means markets down more than 10%. We're not quite in bear territory north of 20%, but we certainly are in correction territory. Nice to see the market with some green on it today. We'll also tackle whatever else you're thinking about today and perhaps paying down that credit card debt. You know, by the way, in the news today, another record for credit card debt. Listen to this. Cardholders paid $130 billion with a B in interest and fees last year. That's according to a new report by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. Interest accounted for $105 billion in 2022 payments, with fees making up the remaining $25 billion. It was the highest amount of interest and fees ever measured by the government agency. Now, a separate analysis from Wallet Hub, the website, estimated the total of interest and fees paid was even higher. They estimated $164 billion. Analysts say the 2023 numbers could be even higher due to the interest rate hikes on the part of the Federal Reserve. We now see the average interest at 22%. So how do you get out of credit card debt? Well, let's talk about it. Maybe you've got some credit card debt. I find the snowball method is more effective if you have $4,000 or less in credit card debt. If it's more than that, I like using a debt management program. If you want to talk about that or anything else today, give us a call. 800-525-7000. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin in Texas today. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here's my question. With the comments you were making about anonymous giving.
Yes.
My support for the church goes through automatic bank draft, which is good. We need to do our share, but you don't see it. You know, don't think about it. It just happens. And I'm in what I do, I take in about 80 to 100 $100 bills every month.
Okay.
And I stick at least two of them in my wallet, folded up in a sticky note, to hand to somebody that just dawns on me might need some help.
I love that.
And I got busted the other day. It's my intention that they will not know where it comes from, but it's a young woman that really helps me out in my fitness center. And this is, it's more or less like a tip, okay?
Yes.
But I just put the term carry on on the note with the $100 bill that I dropped on her desk when she was not there.
Yep.
And she knew who it was.
Yes, sir.
Because she's heard me say that around the fitness center. So I just only kind of was thinking about a second opinion on that. You know, I get a real charge out of it. They don't owe me anything. I don't want them to even know who I am necessarily. But how does that strike you?
Well, I love it. I love what you're doing here, Paul, because, you know, you're looking for people on your path to bless. I guarantee you it makes an incredible impact in their lives. And whether or not they find out it's you or not, or they suspect it's you or not, I think is beside the point. Your heart is in the right place. You're trying to do it to honor and bless them for their hard work. They're receiving it, I assume, as a gift from the Lord. You know it's making their day. So I think is really spurring others on to, you know, probably even greater generosity. It's kind of like what happens, you know, if you pull through the drive-thru in the coffee shop and you get to the window and they say, hey, the car in front of you has already paid the bill, no charge. And then you say, I'll do it for the guy behind me. And then hopefully it just keeps going. And so, you know, we're kind of creating some contagious, cheerful, and loving generosity, which I think lines up perfectly with Scripture. Now, you also mentioned that you give systematically through a bank draft. I like that as well. That's how we do our giving. However, I would just say, be sure that it doesn't ever become rote in the sense that, you know, I love this idea of this cheerful giving that we see modeled in the New Testament. The only challenge, I like the simplicity of it and the effectiveness of it. The only challenge with giving electronically is we can just lose the worship aspect of it if we're not careful.
It becomes an entry on the bank statement.
Yes, sir. Know? Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it because I do it. I'm just saying we constantly have to be checking our hearts. I'll just tell you a quick story on this. Ron Blue, one of my mentors, he's written 20 books on personal finance. He used to give through electronic bank draft. And what he found was that just that, it became that entry on the ledger, and you know, he felt like they were missing something in their giving. So he and Judy, his wife, stopped the electronic giving, and now Sunday morning, he comes down for breakfast. He brings a 3x5 card with all the income they receive from various sources. He's an author, so he gets a royalty check here, and he might be consulting or paying, you know, getting an honorarium for speaking. He writes down whatever income has come in that week. He puts it down on the table, and then they look at it, and then she writes the check for their tithe. They thank the Lord for it, and then they take it with them to church. Well, that's not the way everybody has to do it, but it works for them and it becomes a worshipful experience as they do it. And I think there's something to that, Paul.
I do too. When you were talking about that, I thought maybe I should write a check and drop it in the plate on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, whatever works for you. But listen, thanks for calling today. I'm confident what you've shared has spurred others on to even greater giving, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. God bless you. Well, we're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. Joe in Oklahoma will be coming your way as well. I want to make sure you have enough time, though, to get your question in, and I'm up against the clock here. So you stay right there. We do have some phone lines open, folks. If you have a question today on anything financial, give us a call right now. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. A quick email. This comes from Alexis. She writes, how do I get my credit score over 500? I have such bad credit that I can't get a good credit card. Well, the question is, you know, really, should you have a credit card? I would ask Alexis kind of what got you into the trouble that led to the sub 500 credit score in the first place. You probably want to be careful with that until you've gotten yourself in a good spot financially and really instilled those disciplines in your financial life of living within your means and, you know, not using credit for anything but a budgeted item. I'd probably start with a secured credit card. This is where you put an amount on deposit with your bank, maybe $200 to $500. They'll give you a limit against it, and then I would use it only for budgeted items. Pay it off in full. This is not debt, because at any point they could take the balance if you couldn't pay it from the amount you put on deposit, but it will build your credit score over time. So when you're ready for that unsecured credit card, you can get it. Again, it's called a secured credit card. We'll be right back.
Spiritual warfare is a reality that none of us are going to be able to escape. The scripture reveals that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We must be. But then the word of God says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So guess what that means? Our munitions supply is not limited to this natural sphere. We're not merely just engaged, we are engaged to win. I like that.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're going to be heading back to the phones in just a moment. But first, Bob Dahl stops by each Monday morning to give us his update on the markets and the economy. Bob, great to have you here this morning. Nice to see a little green on the screen today as we start the week, huh?
We'll take the green. It beats the red. Absolutely. The market got oversold with the decline of the last few weeks, and we're seeing a bit of a bounce that is welcome.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Obviously, we're in correction territory, north of 10% off, trying to pull out of that. Bob, do you feel like, you know, we may have the sellers out of the way, or do you feel like, you know, we're still kind of in this period here where we could see a more prolonged downturn?
I think because we're oversold, we may get a bit of a bounce here, Rob, but until we resolve the issue of how high are interest rates going, are we going to have a recession, how quickly will earnings growth slow down / decline, until those things are resolved, Rob, it's hard to see significant upside. I think we'll be in a trading range. We've been in this 4,200 to 4,600 trading range for the S&P 500. We're below the low end of that now. And we could stay there for a while also until we resolve the same questions.
All right. Very good, Bob. Obviously, a lot of eyes watching corporate earnings. You had some comments in your deliberations this week. We're approaching halfway through that. What do you make of it?
Yeah, the numbers are, like the first two quarters of this year, coming in reasonably good. About three quarters of companies are exceeding expectations. That's always good news to beat what people thought, and that is. Will create some sort of floor in the market at some level. The questions, Rob, are, well, what about the fourth quarter and how does next year look? And the answers there are a bit more mixed.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Obviously, a lot of eyes still focused on the Middle East, Bob. That is going to be weighing on the markets until we see whether that's something that's going to come and go or whether it'll expand beyond that current region.
Absolutely. It should have been on my list earlier. A lot of the decline last week was blamed on concerns about the Middle East broadening. And then when it didn't over the weekend, that's causing some people to say that's part of the reason we're getting a rally today. As we've said before, if this stays Gaza Strip and Israel, as painful as that is, it's probably not a big impact on the market. But if it broadens and Iran and oil come into the question, then the market will struggle.
All right. Bob, what about the data we got out last week on GDP as well as just the consumption of the American consumer? Obviously, still a lot of strength there. Were you surprised to see the resiliency of the U.S. economy?
Yeah, U.S. real GDP, as you know, was up 4.9% in the first release for the third quarter, which is higher than anybody thought. And, of course, consumption was the key driver. The question is, can that continue? There are still a lot of people thinking that the excess savings that people got as a result of COVID is still in the process of being spent. And as that winds down, it'll be difficult for consumers to stay anywhere nearly as strong as they were in the third quarter.
Yeah, and of course, that just underscores the idea that the Fed is going to take its time before we ever see any kind of decrease in these interest rates, right?
That's for sure. The Fed meets this week, unlikely to make any changes. Some of us are still thinking maybe December, unless we get a lot better surprises on inflation. The Fed needs to slow this economy down if they're going to get inflation anywhere toward the 2% target that they have.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, appreciate your insights, my friend. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You the same. Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right. Bye-bye. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Let's round out the broadcast today with as many questions as we can get to Oklahoma. Joe, you've been very patient, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. I've recently built a little wood shop and bought some chickens for my grandson. And lo and behold, we got a project that we're going to make a profit on. Is any of this wood shop or any of this tax deductible?
Well, you'll find that a lot is deductible, Joe. And if you don't use a CPA, this new endeavor is a great reason to do so. You know, all of your expenses, what you paid for equipment, marketing, gasoline, you know, to name a few. You know, you could also write off a portion of your house expenses if the space you use is exclusive to your woodworking, if it's part of the, you know, the dwelling. Keep in mind, you know, you eventually need to turn a profit on the business. The IRS views this as a hobby. If they do, then you won't be able to write those things off. But it sounds like, you know, you are, you know, getting into a situation where you're turning a profit. And if you do, then, you know, you can absolutely begin writing off those expenses. So I think this is a great opportunity for you to engage a CPA, make sure the books are set up properly to keep your personal finances separate from the business. And they can help you establish the documentation you need to be able to justify the expenses and also kind of fill you in based on your specific situation on what actual expenses will be deductible. Do you have a CPA that you've used in the past, Joe?
No.
Okay. If you know of one, I'd reach out. If you don't, I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Oklahoma on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. Any one of those folks there in your area could refer you to a godly CPA or accountant. But I think this is the year for you to get that set up, just to make sure you take full advantage of the deductions coming your way. But, you know, you also pay whatever tax is due. So thanks for your call today, Joe. Congrats on getting this hobby working for you. Hopefully you're enjoying it, but sounds like you're also making a little money at the same time, which is a great thing. God bless you, sir. Let's stay in Oklahoma. Hi, Paula. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I bring in about $7,000 total, that's including my mom's pay, and I have no debt. I've got savings and some in an IRA and a CD, and I was just wondering, should I pay extra on my home? It's 3.3% interest, and I owe about $120,000 on it. I don't pay taxes, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, yeah, very good. And are you retired at this point, Paula?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I got my pension also from my job, yeah.
All right. And so what income sources are you living off of? It sounds like you have disability, and then what does your mom have in the way of income?
It's Social Security and also disability from my dad's VA. He passed away. It's like survivor benefit from the VA.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And do you all have a surplus on a monthly basis, and what amount roughly?
It's about, I'd say about $2,500.
Okay, in surplus.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, surplus like extra or the bills
ma'am.
That I pay?
No, the extra that you have left over.
Oh, I got about $5,000.
$5,000 a month extra?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you all have in your liquid savings, what I would consider your emergency fund?
I have $25,000 in a CD, and then I have about $40,000 in an IRA, and then I only have about $2,000 in cash here at my $1,000 at my residence, and then about $3,000 in my savings.
Got it. So what I would do here, Paula, is I'd love for you to have 6 months expenses in liquid savings, not in a CD, ready for the unexpected. So you total up your monthly expenses times six. That would be my goal. Once you've got that, then you've got the CD on top of it. You got the IRA. And if you guys are still throwing off a good bit of cash, I would say, yeah, absolutely. If you want to, accelerate the home payoff, you can at any month you need the money because, you need to use it for something else. You could certainly, not send it. But I would say once you have that emergency fund, prioritizing, getting that home mortgage paid down would be a good thing, even though the interest rate's low.
Okay. Then that's all right. What I needed to know. That's perfect. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Paula. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. To North Carolina. Hi, Christy. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the gentleman caller earlier that talked about how he gives anonymously.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he even said sometimes hundreds. But I just wanted to add, please, to your listeners, I guess, please be sure to add a gospel tract if you give like that, because it's such a great way. They're so open to the gospel when you're so generous like that.
I love that idea, Christy. Do you have a place that you usually get those from that you could recommend? Or, obviously there's a number of them.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. Livingwaters.com is the best place. And they even have a gospel tract that says a gift for you, and you can put the money in it. And when they open it, it talks about, why they're giving the gift. And it talks about, of course, the gift of salvation. It's such a great way to share the gospel. They do have fake money gospel tracts. Don't use them for this particular thing because that would turn somebody off. But, even like a generous tip, you could give a gospel tract because you've got their attention when you've been so generous.
What a great idea. I think you're exactly right. You're meeting a need, obviously blessing them with something unexpected, which I think leads to a great openness, as you said here, about the gospel. And that's ultimately what we want. We want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, Christy, thanks for sharing that idea. That was a great suggestion. And she mentioned livingwaters.com as a website you can go to find those tracks. Hey, Christy, have a great day. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today. We covered a lot of ground, whether it's starting a business and saving on some taxes. We talked a lot about generosity, even paying down mortgages and saving for the future. But at the core of all of it is the opportunity for us to really see God as our true treasure and see money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. That's what we want to encourage you to do each day on this program. By the way, if you'd like to give a gift to the ministry here in the fourth quarter as we approach the final 2 months of the year, you can make a gift right now at faithfi.com. Just click Give. Thanks in advance. On behalf of my team today, I want to say thanks for being along with us. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and see us tomorrow. We'll join you again then. Bye-bye.